Are you not going to be available at that time?
Well, I was planning on making my report this morning. I saw elections on
the... I understand. Is there be any objection to having the elections committee, the election supervisors report at this time?
No objection.
Can you do it in 10 minutes, Casey?
I'll try.
Go ahead.
So a lot's been going on. I can't cover it all. Basically, I do want to just point out what's in the handout that's going out now. It's 11 pages titled 2007 Pacifica Election Notice. In this document, which is basically the candidate packet that will be posted online, all the information is with the... you can give it to the public as well. The information is with our national web person who will be posting it shortly. Election website, we're going to have a pointer to it from pacificaelections.org, which is the URL we're going to be promoting to make it easy for people to get right to the exact page. But if you want to look at it now...
Hold on, Casey. Could anybody in the audience who's having a discussion in the room please take it in the hall? It's hard enough, given the translation, to hear and give attention to the speakers. Thanks very much.
Sure. If anybody wants to have a look at the website, we're still loading information onto it. We're still getting it organized, but... the information is there by and large. It's www.pacificafoundation.org/elections. That's pacificafoundation.org/elections. And the information is up there in Spanish as well as English. However, you have to look for it. There's a sidebar that you click on that doesn't even say it's Spanish. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done to make this website functional, and we intend to make it very functional, and it's somewhat the center of the campaign because we're going to have blogs for candidates so they can be much more elaborate about what their views are and make it easier for the voters to get information about who it is they're voting on. And we intend to also set up chat rooms about issues that you all deal with so that the listener sponsors and other members can have some more direct input, hopefully on an ongoing basis, not just during the election cycle. Now, I want to point out particularly, I've rewritten a lot of the material that's in the candidate packet. I've tried to make it briefer, clearer, and in the case of the fair campaign provisions, make it easier to enforce. There's two pages of fair campaign provisions now. It used to be one document with two pages. Now it's two documents of one page each. One is for candidates. The other is for programmers, staff, and management. And the purpose of this is to bring about greater clarity and to make it less cumbersome. So the programmers one needs to be signed by everybody at the station, basically, as soon as possible. So the local election supervisors will be getting this into everybody's mailboxes and hopefully... staff email lists, et cetera, and to get these back. But even if they're not signed by programmers, staff, and management, those people are still held responsible for these rules, sign it or not. And the consequences of not being cooperative are written into the document, so you can look at it there. And basically, I'll be glad to take questions. There's not much time, so we'll try to make it brief.
Okay. Bertel.
Hi, Mr. Casey. Well, I'll be blunt, you know, and at BAI we have this daring issue of validating the staff list, and there's been a lot of email and exchanges about that, and this has been an issue from the very beginning. Now, I've not been following the details of the conversations or anything like that, but I know that it is a problem. And I know that further, it is a problem that we, an organization, do not have the list of all our employees, paid or unpaid, their address, their contact list, what they do for us as employees, more or less. And from my constituency, including meaning Carolyn Bergen and people in New York, I'm feeling that you and Pacifica in general are afraid of tackling that problem. We are letting the political forces at BAI intimidate the demanding of what are the criteria for validating this list and what is a staff, what is an unpaid staff?
The unpaid staff list has been a big question. I have been participating actively in the staff list work group of the PNB's election committee, as well as the other lists work group, which you mentioned, Carolyn Burden. She heads that up. And certainly I'm not letting anybody intimidate me in any way. Somebody tries to intimidate me, they're going to be sorry. That's all I can say. I am an independent contractor. I do not work for the management. I do not work for this board. However, I and the local election supervisors want to work with the management. We want to work with the board, and we want to conduct a fair and clean election. Now, I conferred with our corporate counsel, who's sitting next to you, about 3 months ago on this question. And it's very clear what the bylaws have to say about it. The situation at WBAI and KPFA are different from the situation of the other three stations. However, all stations are required to post the lists August 1st, the preliminary list of unpaid staff members. And that means that the two stations where there are unpaid staff organizations, those organizations are responsible for posting their lists August 1st so that those lists can be scrutinized and somebody can say, hey, I should be on that list, or so-and-so shouldn't be. And then on September 1st, a revised list will be posted, and there's 2 weeks after that to make any further complaints, which I will handle.
I'm going to go serve Bob Ray.
Okay. Thank you, Casey. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
In this package that you just provided here, you have come here with a long list of LSB candidate questionnaire. My question to you is, than the previous elections, we had a smaller questionnaire. It was not as detailed. You have 20 questions here.
Yes.
That you want candidates to answer. Most of these candidates who are running for the elections, they are citizens or listeners, and they are not familiar with the detail, intricacies of workings of our network. So in your view, what was the drawback of the previous questionnaire that you tried to correct it with the new one?
Yes, well, I did feel that there wasn't enough room for detail. And there was one question in the last questionnaire that everybody complained about. It said, do you anticipate missing any meetings? And everybody just answered no. I mean, some of the questions were a bit useless. The candidates are not required to answer any of the questions in the questionnaire. This is to give them the opportunity to express themselves in greater detail than they're allowed to in the 500-word statement that gets published in the ballot pamphlet. The answers to the questionnaires go only onto the website, and they are limited to 300 words per answer. But the idea is to have one web page for each of these questions so that the voters can go and directly compare the answers of the various candidates and really get a feel for who they're voting for. We've had a lot of complaints from voters in the past saying, I don't really know what these people stand for. And so this is an opportunity for greater depth of information.
Okay, here's the detailed question that I'll give you an example. It says, should the Pacifica Foundation try to acquire additional radio stations? Now, they don't know the intricacies of the details of the workings of the network yet. They don't know what the drawbacks and benefits are. So, you know, you say each question would have one internet page or something like that. So you have 20 questions, you've got 20 internet pages. What I'm afraid of is that would that discourage people from applying from it when they see these this kind of a detail questions and answers, 300 words for each question, and that's a lot of words.
Yeah, serving on the board, even just the local station board, and I commend all of you for being willing to put in the extra time to serve on the national board. It is a lot of work, and we want to make sure that people know that. We don't want to recruit candidates who are not prepared to commit 3 or perhaps 4 years, if the amendment passes, we have to let them know what level of commitment this job involves. And so when we go out tabling or approaching people in other ways between now and September 25th, we're going to let them know that they need to attend a board meeting every month, they need to be active in at least one committee, and they need to do their homework so that they know what the issues are that's facing the board. A lot of people run for the board just because they want to change the programming. They have to understand that the board deals with budget and finance, the board deals with administrative and management questions. The FCC compliance, technical plans for the future, et cetera. So the board does a lot more work than just programming, and we want to make that clear to the candidates so that we have a really high, highly qualified group of candidates to put before our voters.
We're at time. Do people want to extend for 5 minutes? There were three people who had their hand up.
I'm going to extend for 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Bob, Ray, and... Okay, we'll go with Bob and Ray and see how much time we have left at that point. Bob?
Okay, two things. First, just in response to the board member who made allegations about the probity and accuracy of the list for unpaid staff at WBAI, I would just say that the unpaid staff union has complied with every aspect of the bylaws and fully cooperated with every national and local election supervisor in the 3 elections that have happened. The process has been open. The lists have been posted at the station and on email for anyone to challenge. There have been challenges that have been investigated, and the lists have been verified. So there's just no foundation for those allegations. Secondly, I wanted to ask our legal counsel about one sentence which I just read in this Fair Campaign Provisions for Programmers, Staff, and Management. Which overall I applaud the work Casey has done to kind of clarify this and make it easier to follow. But I'm concerned by the last sentence of number 4 that says, programmers and staff may not endorse candidates via email. Now, in the past, the rule, which I believe came from the bylaws, was that programmers and staff may not use the resources of the foundation, including an official email list that was constructed by the foundation in order to endorse listener candidates. But there's never been this sort of blanket across-the-board restriction on people in their own time and using their own private email lists to endorse candidates. And I'd like to ask Dan Siegel if there are constitutional issues with restricting what staff do on their own time and with their own resources.
Thank you. I read and approved the campaign provisions that Casey has submitted here, but I think that Bob Lederer raises a good point. When I read this provision, I read it from the perspective of official Pacifica email lists and resources, but it appears to me that a programmer working on her own time with her private email account would not be in any way precluded from sending out emails to friends or acquaintances or other persons to support a candidate any more than that programmer would be precluded from making telephone calls or speaking to individuals in person.
Could you just clarify how you would cope with an allegation that somebody might make that the list that they acquired was developed as a result of people signing up because of their show? In other words, that, like, for example, we have a programmer here who has a large personal email list of people who subscribe on his website to get information about his show. How would, at the point of enforcement, it be dealt with if somebody said, hey, that program is sending it out to a list that was developed with the aid of promotion on their show?
Well, the individual, enforcement could be tricky, right? But an individual would be precluded from using such a list if it were a Pacifica resource or a resource developed as a result of working for Pacifica. And I assume that if a complaint in that regard arose, it would be possible to determine where the email addresses came from. If the addresses were on a list of people who had signed up for information regarding the show or about Pacifica, it seems to me that an issue could be raised. On the other hand, if the programmer were able to show that she was using her own private email list, which was developed from sources outside Pacifica, there should not be a violation.
Okay. Obviously, many of these issues are going to have to be dealt with by the Elections Committee working with the election supervisor. We don't have time for every question. Ray?
Yes. 2 points. Last election, there were two candidates at WBAI who were in the official statement included endorsement by two programmers. One of them, I'm pretty sure, is heard on WBAI intermittently, and both being heard at other stations. And I'm going to assume that this would apply. It would be to prohibit such activity.
You know, it's a bit vague in the bylaws because the bylaws specifically allow the endorsement of five people in the candidate's statement. And I'm going to have to confer. This actually was brought up to me a couple of days ago. I am going to have to confer with our corporate counsel to determine a policy on this. I'm not going to answer it at this time.
We're at time. We're at time.
Do people
want to?
Quickie. I work on the Committee of Inclusion at WBAI, and we had some problem getting information from the election supervisor. One of the mandates is to obtain a list based on information already provided by candidates as to who those individuals are who are running on the board. And is there anything that we can count on that, are you aware of that requirement for the functioning of the committee, that we can use your assistant to actually get that information this time around?
Yes. Under the current bylaws, the situation is that some people were elected in 2003 and for a one-year term and then ran again in 2004, got reelected. And so at the end of this year, we'll have served 4 years. Under the current bylaws...
My question is different.
Okay.
I'm saying that the Committee of Inclusion, one of their mandates is to look at the figure, the individuals running, look at the community and its different demographic distribution, uh-huh. Look at the list of candidates and see how they're represented in comparison to that reality. I'm saying that, at least at WBI, we have trouble getting that information from the election supervisor. I'm saying, are you aware of the requirements for the function of the committee?
Well, what I was...
Can you count on your assistant to get that information?
What I was told by last year's national election supervisor was that information that was previously asked for was confidential, and so it was not to be shared with the public. That we did ask people about their ethnicity and about their sexual preference, et cetera, whether they had physical disabilities, and whether they were over 16. I did not include those inquiries in this. Now, you know, this is not necessarily the final product. I mean, certainly there's some typos and other things in here, too, that need to be taken care of. But I would be open to a discussion about whether that should be included, but I had a lot of complaints about it. A lot of candidates felt quite offended that they were being asked this.
Okay, we've spent 20 minutes now on this already.
We are only asking for information that are provided already by those individuals, nothing else.
Statistics, not the
name. Personal statistics.
Okay.
Identifying information.
Okay, if you could email me that question, I can take it up in more detail with you.
Thank you.
Okay, my email is ballot@pacifica.org. And I'm willing to take questions from, you know, all the board members, of course.
We're past time for this item, and I'm going to ask whether board members would be willing to direct their questions to Casey via email or via the Elections Committee, or whether members want to extend time now to pursue these issues further. Seeing no motion to extend time.
I would just like to introduce our local election supervisor from KPFK, Liliana Sanchez, and I want to implore all of you to cooperate with your local election supervisors. We've gone to a great deal of effort to make sure that these people are from our Pacifica supporters, but from outside of the politics of Pacifica. And Liliana, did we just say hi?
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Thank you very much for being willing to do this work. We really appreciate it.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job.
And our support, thanks, and condolences. Okay.